The Toledo Bar Association First Gen Lawyers podcast shares conversations with established first generation attorneys. We are fortunate to have many accomplished lawyers and judges in Toledo who were the first in their family to attend college or law school. Join us to hear how our colleagues overcame obstacles and what they learned along the way.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Toledo Bar Association's First Generation Lawyers Podcast. I'm Noah Woods, and today I'm joined with co-host Brandy Denier, as Carl Strauss is unavailable with us today. However, we're still excited to sit down with today's guest, Magistrate Camille Akande. Magistrate Akande is a graduate of the University of Dayton School of Law and has dedicated much of her career to public service. Before assuming her current role as the Lucas County Juvenile Court Magistrate, Magistrate Akande worked as a staff attorney with the Lucas County Children's Services. She has also served as a prosecuting attorney for the City of Dayton in Montgomery County, and she has worked as a dean at Cedarville University and briefly maintained a private legal practice. With such an impressive resume and reputation amongst the legal community, it's an honor to have Magistrate Akande on today to share some light on navigating the legal profession as a first-generation lawyer. If you'd like to just give a brief introduction on how you came to Toledo, I think that would be a fascinating way to start.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. It's an honor to be here to be able to speak up my experience as an attorney and how I became attorney from a family of no attorneys. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll start by saying I'm originally from South Carolina. I went to undergrad in North Carolina and law school in Ohio. So I practiced in Dayton, Ohio for about 13 years. And during those 13 years, I always did work in the community I lived in, but also traveled to Ghana, West Africa. I went to Haiti and the Dominican Republic doing missions work. And so I always wanted to serve the community, especially working with children from disadvantaged backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so I packed my bags in September of 2014, and I moved to Ghana, West Africa as a full-time missionary.
Oh, wow.
And so I lived there for about 7 months doing a lot of missions work there. Unfortunately, I got sick with typhoid fever. I came back here to the States. So I'm a licensed attorney in Ohio. So I came back to Ohio, and I love working with the youth. I'm passionate about helping the youth. And I saw there was a job here in Toledo with Lucas County Children's Services. And I had a passion for working with the youth in the community. And I thought with my legal experience and combining my passion for the community would be a perfect job for me. So I took the job in Toledo and I came here.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what kind of motivated you to look to Ohio in the first place for law school? Was it just kind of practical considerations, or did you have connections here?
Actually, I was a part of an honors program in college, and I went to Historically Black College and University, and a lot of my classmates were from North Carolina or South Carolina, and I had a professor who went to school here in Ohio for her master's, and then she just felt like we were just stuck, you know, in the South and needed to look at other parts of the country for professional schools. And so they took us on a road trip to see different master level programs or professional programs in Ohio. So we made a road trip here. One of the schools was University of Dayton. So I came back with my family to visit again. And I stepped out of my comfort zone of being in the South and came to Ohio.
Nice. It's something that I feel like I can relate to, in the sense of I didn't have many connections to Ohio, and it was kind of like I got a mailer. So I think it kind of reflects, though, how first generation law students often, there's someone that helps kind of push you or navigate you. So do you have an interest in law before that, or was it more just that trying to get you interested in a master level program, that initiative that shifted your focus towards like Ohio or public school or law school?
Well, I can't say that I was necessarily interested in law, but ever since I was really young, people told me I would be an attorney. And I think because I was always advocating for someone, I was always probably questioning the teacher if I felt something was unjust. I remember one time the teacher said, if anybody talks, everyone stays in for recess. And I was the person to say, well, how is that fair that I can't go outside for recess because this person talked? And that just went throughout, you know, my high school years. I remember advocating because they took our ketchup away and I led a protest to advocate for ketchup. So, I mean, like little silly stuff like that I did. And being in class, always debating, always challenging. And so when everyone said, you're going to be an attorney, I'm like, I don't know. Because my mom said, go to medical field. Mm-hmm. You'll always have a job in a medical field. There are tons of attorneys out there. So go into the medical field. But everyone around me, like, just really thought I should be an attorney. So I went to college. I majored in political science. I took a lot of law classes, and that piqued my interest even more. And I was in this criminal law class, mm-hmm. and I heard about a story of this man, Daryl Hunt, who had been what people believe to be wrongly convicted for a crime, for rape and murder. And it was a crime back in like the 60s or 70s, and since then there was DNA evidence to prove that he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I got a chance to work with some local attorneys to work on that case and work on an appeal. I got the students like really rallied up to support him. We took about 3 buses to the Court of Appeals to go support him, to let him know that he had support from the community, to have people still advocate for a man we thought was innocent of this crime. And that was an experience that really touched my heart, where I wanted to advocate for people who felt like they didn't have a voice or didn't know how to use their voice. And that experience really just really changed my life. And so not only did I want to advocate for people, but I also wanted to teach other people to care about issues that matter and also to advocate for the rights of other people. So I think that experience sealed the deal for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. And I think wanting to advocate for people who may not have the ability or the voice that is listened to, mm-hmm. is that kind of what directed you towards juvenile law and working for like the children's services? Did you feel advocating for like children in that manner?
Absolutely. I think I've always been working in a community, and I've always had a passion to help youth make sure, you know, their needs are being met in the community. And I think that also working in a community, I worked in like homeless shelters and working with women in jails and prisons, hearing their life stories made me realize that people just come from some disadvantaged situations, some horrific situations, and they felt like they were voiceless. They didn't know what to do. If this happened, they didn't know how to speak or who to go to, and they felt so defeated. And so I think with anybody who are from underprivileged backgrounds, I wanted to be able to help walk alongside them and help empower them to be advocates. So that led me to pretty much being public service most of my career. I was thinking defense attorney all the way, mm-hmm. of course, but then I would clerk for a judge, and I met victims on crimes, and recognizing that victims too needed someone to advocate for them because they were in scary, vulnerable points in their lives. And I also wanted to advocate for victims and make sure justice was being served. And I wanted to be a prosecutor who saw the whole picture, a prosecutor who was fair and just. And I just continued that work with juveniles. Like I said, I really, you know, have a passion for kids. So to work for an agency who advocated for children who were abused, neglected, and dependent, it was just a great fit for me and my line of work in a community and my legal profession to advocate for people. I was also a guardian ad litem in my private practice. So it was just a natural transition for me.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you have seen it from different angles and that you are looking at it from different angles, and that makes what makes you so valuable as a magistrate, in my opinion.
Thank you.
So that's really interesting.
Yeah, I was curious, kind of going off of that, is how do you feel your different experiences inform your job now as a magistrate? Do you feel that it particularly benefits you in certain ways when, you know, how you can approach the case, or do you feel that it may make your job a bit more difficult because maybe you have some of those prior experiences? So you, you know, I've always wondered that as a judge or someone that is kind of in that neutral role, it's if you're, it's hard to leave those prior experiences behind, so to speak.
I think it's definitely helped me because I understand everyone has a role. I understand the role of the prosecutor and why they made the arguments they made because I was a prosecutor. I've done defense work, so I know what it's like to represent a client and the difficulties and the things that come with representing a client. I've served as a guardian ad litem in cases, so I know what it's like to advocate for the best interest of the child, so I know their role. And also, because I work in a community, I work with people just on a day-to-day basis about just life issues and their struggles. So I understand when they come to court, like, the fears they have, maybe the backgrounds they come from, their concerns about the legal system, their want to be heard by someone, their desire to be feel like they're in a fair system. So I think because I've seen it from all angles, I think I'm more impartial and I'm more considerate of both sides and gracious to both sides and to the clients because I understand the mindset of all different people coming to court. And I think that helps me in my job.
Yeah,
be the best I can be.
Yeah, and so for a first-generation law student out there that would, you know, have visions of maybe one day being a magistrate or a judge, do you have any suggestions on how the career path that you found was, you know, is it trying a bunch of different areas, or do you think, what did you find kind of put you on this pathway to where you've been?
I think as a first-generation attorney, first of all, you have to believe that you can accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. The sky is the limit. Sometimes I think as first-generation attorneys, we may worry about, will I be successful? What kind of law will I practice? Will I be good here or there? So I think you have to, number one, it's good to try different things. Some people know, and that's okay. I knew I wanted to be in litigation, so I did that. But it's also okay to try different areas because I think as you grow as an attorney, you'll find out that you may like one area more than others. And I think that you work really hard at whatever stage you're at, that you perfect your craft. You learn as much as you can learn about that that area. And I think that people will naturally see the work that you're doing. I think my path was natural. Like, I never thought I'd be a magistrate. I wasn't aiming for a magistrate. It's just a career path that I took prepared me for this moment. So I think any experiences you can gather, whether that's volunteer experience, networking with different attorneys or magistrates or judges, getting mentorship opportunities, building those relationships, watching different hearings and trials. I think all of that, just don't pigeonhole yourself. Just be, you know, go out there, learn as much as you can learn, gather as much information from other people as you can. And I think that will help lead you to become a magistrate and maybe a judge one day.
Is there anything... is there anything you wish you had known as a new law student that you know now?
I think I appreciate the value of relationships and mentorships. I wouldn't say I didn't appreciate it when I was a young attorney, but I think I recognize the value of it even more because I feel like part of where I am today is because of mentors. I was able to, as a young attorney, call attorneys and ask for their advice. How do I handle this situation? How do I handle this case? Do you have any trials coming up? Can I come and watch you? And then they can explain to me why they did what they did or how why they argued that point. So I would watch trials when I could, if I would, because I want to be a litigator. I met different people at different networking functions to get to know them, to pick their brain, to talk about their experience. If I had difficulties at work, I would call them to help me navigate the situation. So I think there's a lot of wisdom that can be gained from attorneys who've been doing it for a long time. So I would say you're not by yourself. You don't have to figure it out by yourself. Just because you don't have any attorneys in your family, there's so many attorneys out there who are willing to help you out.
Wow. I'm looking back in my law school experience, and I wish I had listened to someone like you giving that advice, because that's really, I think, very key.
Yeah, I think that as a first-generation law student and feeling insecure about reaching out to people, I think I've come to realize how much that really is a hindrance to me, and how every time I've kind of overcome those feelings, how surprised I am pleasantly at how open people are to wanting to help and to giving advice or guidance. So I think that's excellent advice.
Absolutely. And if someone gives you their card or number, call them. Like, you know, ask to have lunch. Ask, meet them. I think most of the time they gave you their card. They're serious about talking to you. I remember being new to Toledo, and I just sent an email to the current bar president and say, hey, can we meet for lunch? She was like, yes. And I was shocked that, like, she would even respond to me. So you'll be very surprised at the willingness of people to help you out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely learning as a first-generation lawyer, law student, like, to kind of mute that imposter syndrome voice, it can really be big and just seizing those opportunities that you may otherwise let, like, kind of pass up because you think, oh, they don't want to talk to me or something, like you said. So
I think that's wonderful, and I think that part of it is being in Toledo, because I think we just have a great community of lawyers here in Toledo. We really do.
Yeah, I think we're kind of at our time, so I really thank you so much for all the wisdom that you did give us, and I'm very thankful to have you in our legal community.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. So it's been a great experience so far.
Thank you for speaking with us.
Yep. All right.
This podcast is brought to you by the Toledo Bar Association and is funded through a generous grant from the Toledo Law Association.